Some rough seas between China and Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. Relations between China and Japan are at their lowest level in years, less than a month after China surpassed Japan to become the world's second biggest economy. China's threatened strong countermeasures if Japan doesn't release a Chinese boat captain detained by the Japanese nearly 2 weeks ago for sailing near a chain of islands in the East China Sea. Both nations lay claim to those islands. So what's the big fuss? Here's Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
The islands at the center of this fight are too remote to live on. So while the heat between China and Japan over who owns them, the flame is being fueled by what's underneath them, says China political scientist Zhou Yongshen.
If Japan gains ownership of these islands, it means a great deal of natural gas will suddenly fall into Japan's possession. Now, this is the heart of the problem.
Ranked by GDP, world economy number 3, Japan has virtually no reserves of natural gas, yet relies on that resource for 14% of its total energy consumption. It has to import all of it. World economy number 2, that would be China, has domestic reserves but is also a net importer of natural gas and is on track to double its consumption within 5 years. These islands would be a nice addition to either country. Oh yeah, I almost forgot Taiwan. It lays claims to the islands too, but with its economy ranked at number 25, it's having a harder time getting a word in. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
The price of gold has surged to another record high today. It hit more than $1,280 an ounce in London trading. But is the yellow metal flashing a warning signal about the state of the U.S. economy? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So the latest spurt in the price of gold bullion, what's it telling us?
It's not a good sign, unless you've got a few bars stashed under your bed.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess you don't. But it clearly reflects jitters about the state of the U.S. economy in particular, fears of a double-dip recession, and specifically worries that in order to counteract another slowdown, the Federal Reserve, when it meets tomorrow, may announce that it's wheeling out the printing presses again and pumping more dollars into the system. Neil McKinnon is a currency specialist with VTB Capital Group.
The markets believe that the Federal Reserve will print more money, which is sort of undermining the US dollar. And as far as investors are concerned, they're losing confidence in paper currencies generally.
This is the key, of course, worries about the value and stability of other major currencies too. The euro, the yen, the British pound are also boosting the price of bullion as the ultimate safe haven and store of value.
Yeah, I'm curious, Stephen, is this just speculators at work? I mean, investors betting that there's going to be, you know, this burst of inflation? Or are there some other factors pushing up the price of gold bullion?
Yes, on the supply side, gold mining companies are struggling to produce any more of the metal, and non-speculative demand is holding up. There's still a solid base of industrial demand. There's demand for gold jewellery, still very high, especially in India. And central banks have been buying more gold for their reserves. Two Asian central banks in particular reportedly bought 15 tonnes of the stuff last week.
That's a lot of gold. All right, Marketplace's European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are up at the moment 1% or less, led by energy stocks and also, we talked about gold, mining stocks. Wall Street Friday stocks continued their roll. The Dow tacked on a fraction of 1%, 13 points to close at 10,607. For the week, markets added value. The Nasdaq gained more than 3%, the Dow about 1.5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Didn't get a whole lot of airplay in the news last week, what with exploding natural gas lines in Cuba laying off 500,000 workers. But the advocacy group, once known as the Private Equity Council, changed its name to the Private Equity Growth Capital Council. The consortium says it's broadened its membership to include smaller, less visible firms to help raise money for firms. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan thinks there's something a little more obvious going on. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, what's with all these name changes?
Well, growth capital sounds a lot like venture capital, and it sounds a lot better than private equity in the debate that's about to start in Washington about how to tax managers' pieces of their investors' profit.
And what do some people in Washington have to say about it?
Right now, the manager's piece of buyout profits is taxed at the very, very low capital gains rate if the investment's been held for more than a year. The debate going on now is how much to raise these rates, because this is really fee income, which should be taxed fully. And the money raised by this is supposed to go to offset the cost of extending unemployment benefits.
Now can't the so-called buyout barons, can't they argue, Alan, that they've added investments, they're now more diverse, and that the name change was warranted?
Well, I'm sure they could argue that, but that doesn't mean it's true.
So in the long run, Alan, is changing their name and adding new members going to make that much of a difference?
Well, you have to think of this as chicken soup, as a cure for a disease you think you might have. It may not help, but what can it hurt? And besides, to mix my animal metaphors, why not try to put lipstick on your pig?
Surely you're not saying Wall Street is one big trough, are you, Alan?
I would oink, but we're not allowed to do that on public radio.
No, certainly not. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, the Czech firm Etnetera says it's developed a mobile phone application called Virtual Meter. It measures distance and calculates the proper cab fare in Prague. Said the company when it introduced the app, quote, everyone will be able to verify right in the taxi whether the driver is trying to rob him. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.